can't fill us. Hello, welcome to the big show. We've got very little data left, so we're going to do a really fast show. We've lost 2.5 gig just from shooting the shit for 8 minutes. Joining me, top left, starting us off, it's Camps. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, yeah, mate.
That's enough.
Missed it over the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's been horrible, hasn't it? But it's taken forever, absolutely ever, to get through this show. Are you well, mate? Have you recovered from your 10K?
Yeah, recovered from the 10K and getting ready for the next one a week on Sunday.
Excellent, mate. Brilliant. Next to him, it's not Rich. No, who's the next one? The next one is... I've lost it. Oh, forget it. I'll start again. It's Carrie. How you doing, Carrie?
I'm definitely not Rich.
You're definitely not Rich, no. But you're definitely Carrie.
No, I'm saving my money, but I'm just not Rich.
Who's making...
How are you?
Someone's rubbing the microphone. I'm all right, mate. You okay?
Yeah, good.
Glad that you could join us. Do keep the mic still. That's good, fellas. Next to him, then, it is Rich. Hello, mate.
Hello.
I've sent you to
How's it going?
I've sent you to every line that we've got, apart from the one that you actually are ended up on.
I know. It's been an interesting tour of BTN Network studio lines.
But at least you're authorised for all now. Not too bad.
Yeah.
We're sitting doing a show on a bloody 3G dongle that's running out rapidly of data, and they're all going on, oh, look, the ident in the bottom right corner's wrong. Bastards. And last but by no means least, I don't know what's clear. Yeah, here we go. It's the gamut. Hello, you, buddy.
I'm doing great. I've been missing you, Ewan. I'm glad that I'm here today. Get to hang out with you.
Yeah, sorry, because I figured out that people think that we weren't coming, but actually I hadn't told you anything, so you've been turning up.
See, I'm a trooper.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. We're on a 3G dongle. I have no idea how long this is going to last, but it seems a bit harsh that we've lost so much already. Right, who wants to start us off with the story of the week? Here we go. This is John. Say hello to John. John's going to wave. John's come from Australia to come and see the new studio.
Wow.
And a wedding tomorrow in Preston. But
mostly the studio.
Yeah, but really for the studio.
Yeah, no, that's the highlight of the trip. Are you excited about the wedding now that the studio's done, John?
Not as excited as I am to be here. I told my wife I was coming here. The wedding's just a coincidence.
Yeah. Purely coincidental. Thank you very much, mate. Superb. And Muller's joining us, of course.
Hello.
Excellent, mate. Good to see you.
He'll be on back when she's moist listener.
Yeah, well, we've had a curry. Do you enjoy your curry? It was okay.
It was excellent. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, not the best curry house in the world anymore, unfortunately. Now I've been to Akbar's. Oh, dear. Spoiled there with the chicken livers. That was lovely. Thanks to Hoya for taking us out this week as well. I've got some cool stuff to show you. Here's me getting fitted with my Unique glasses. Had my face scanned again, done all the proper measurements and everything, applied my new prescription because I had my eyes tested again the other week. And in 3 weeks' time, carved out of pure unicorn horn, I will have a pair of Unique glasses that will be the envy of you all. Back when she's... It wasn't a trap. No, it wasn't a trap. They are absolutely gorgeous. They are one-of-a-kind glasses that are uniquely made for you. They've even got your initials on the inside of them. That's how unique they are. And I've also got a set of driving glasses that I'm going to review for them. They've got a very special lens that takes away all the blue light and stops all the dazzle and that kind of stuff, which are cool. I love the frames on these. Although my wife said I look like bloody Ronnie Barker. Mac Jim said I look like... what's his face?
Joe 90's dad.
Mark Kermode. And I don't know. There's fewer more insults, I'm sure, out there. I did say at least I don't look like Ronnie Corbett. But
you're becoming a Kingsman, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. No, I can live with that. There you go. I can live with that. I'm a Kingsman. Thank you, mate.
Actually, he's got more glasses than Elton John.
So if you're listening to this and it suddenly goes dead, that's because we run out of data. That's the whole show and you're getting it, whether I'm not editing it or anything like that. It's just going to stop. That's it. Who's got the first story then? Stick it in the chat room. Let's go. Someone says Joe 90, but...
Well,
Jeff's beating you, mate, in the chat room.
Go ahead. I got the story in before anyone else.
I don't know, but the good thing is I think this is a massive story and Carrie will be into it as well. Flash is dead. Tell us more.
Okay, so the deal is everyone's been assuming Adobe told us years ago that Flash is dead. because everyone, including me, has written articles for years and years and years about how Flash is dead. Well, Adobe this week said, nope, it really is dead. And what they're doing is a phase out period. So by the end of 2020, there will be no more updates, no more support, no more Flash. That's it. And so the people that are that have sites that haven't transitioned away from Flash yet, okay, time for them to stop procrastinating because they're not going to have support once we get to the end of 2020.
I don't believe you. I think Flash is going to outlive fossil fuels.
Well, I think it's going to outlive fossil fuels on some websites because Adobe dropping support and just killing it off means that Adobe has killed it off. But whatever's out there in the wild is still out there. Mm-hmm. So if someone has a website running on Flash and they don't change it, it will still be running on Flash. I'm betting that as we get closer to the deadline, that 2020 deadline, that we'll start hearing announcements from web browser makers saying, hey, our next version won't have a Flash module plugin, you know, like for Google Chrome.
Yeah.
And then Apple's going to say, hey, we've actually blocked the ability to add a Flash plugin to Safari. So it will get increasingly difficult for people to continue using Flash.
Until they realize that it's heavily used in camera porn sites and it will need to stay for that very purpose alone.
Actually, the camera porn sites moved to HTML5.
Did they?
Much all of them. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I thought I'd added myself.
I've heard that on the internet.
I was sitting thinking, I'm going to say this about the porn site because I think it'd be funny, but people might think I spend all my time at camera porn sites. I don't. I've got no internet.
Sure. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, there isn't. It's healthy.
Okay, right. Chatterbait. You need to upgrade the chat room in the BTM because that's Flash.
Well, yeah, the whole broadcast is Flash, and then it has to convert to HTML5. And this is the thing that bothers me by saying, oh, Flash is crap, just get rid of it, which John glibly did years ago, is that actually there's an awful lot of stuff that's being used for Flash, which is really, really good. I've got a Flash uploader for a firm where I send them stuff, and it's awesome. It's brilliant. And when I got Chrome, I've got Chrome Beta, the latest one, it wouldn't work in it. So that's why I've rolled back to the standard version. And also our service, we push it out. If you're watching it on Chrome that's got Flash compatibility, or if you're watching with Flash, you see what we're saying a second later than we actually say it across the entire globe. But if you want HTML5, oh, it's got to go up to J, what's it, and it's got to be converted and it's got to be sent down, and you can be anywhere from 45 seconds to 4 minutes away from watching what we're doing. Sometimes people who are watching on HTML5 in the chat room, we've moved on to two topics down the line before them. So I'm sorry, there is still a valid place at this point in time, I grant you, for Flash, surely. Maybe I'm being devil's advocate there. Who knows? Don't write in and tell me.
Well, no, you're not being devil's advocate. You're being very pragmatic about this. And while I glibly said, well, everyone's got to move away from Flash if they haven't yet, look at the education sector. They are so heavily invested in Flash. We're looking at millions and millions of dollars for education systems to transition away from Flash. That's not money that's easy to come by. So just that one sector, the amount of money they're going to have to come up with to get away from Flash, it's just insane. And there are other markets where Flash is still a very heavily used thing.
Yeah, but it's going to cost somebody some money, right? Because it's going to cost Adobe money to keep hiring security people to keep patching it. It's going to cost victims money who get their identity stolen, their computers infected. It's going to cost somebody money. So because it's so insecure and it's so rife with holes, and it really just needs to be scrapped, the sooner the better. And then there'll be motivation to improve HTML5 or replace it with HTML 5.1, I don't know, to fix whatever the potential issues are with regards to delays or feature set, while still maintaining the higher security profile. And once that expense is resolved, obviously, that it's better for everybody across the board. It's an investment.
Or everyone will just realize how good Silverlight is.
Silverlight discontinued a number of years ago?
Yeah, that's what I'm joking about.
But do you know what? Now TV still use it on their website. It's bloody awful.
Yeah, it's crap.
But I do want to say, I couldn't be happier about this. I am so happy. I want, if they could kill Flash in a fire, I would like them to do that somehow. One of my first proper jobs was being a, air quote, Flash developer. And I have a special level of hatred reserved just for Macromedia or Adobe Flash, as it became. It's horrible. It's despicable. It's disgusting. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It does what it wants to do. And 95% of working with it is trying to make it do what it's supposed to do. I hate it so very, very much. Is that coming across at all in what I'm saying, that I really, really dislike Flash?
You just can't. And I mean, you just can't charm the snake, Rich. That's all it
just,
is.
It's horrible. And every other thing that I've ever used in coding or in creating something interactive, everything else is better and easier to use than Flash. I hate it. I'm glad it's dead. That's it.
Well, it's not dead, but it's got a death date well, set. It's dying. I think it's too far ahead. 2020 is too far away. It should be much sooner.
And at the end of the day, what interest does Adobe have in keeping it going so they can sell copies of the Flash creation app? And that's, you know, that's kind of discontinued as it is.
Have Adobe got something else on the cookery? Is there a bunny boiling away ready to come out with something that'll kill HTML5?
Heavily invested in HTML5.
Oh, right, okay.
And CSS3. Yeah.
So they're not going to come out with
they're not going to replace Flash with Flash 2 or something like
Son
that.
Son of Flash.
Even the Flash app has become Animate CC now.
Yeah.
They're going to come out with Shazam. Oh, that's already never mind.
It's already done. I just keep coming back to this idea of, hang on, you want to kill it, great, that's okay, but I'm sorry, it's like the fossil fuel car thing. You know, we've said okay, no more fossil fuels cars are going to be sold in the UK after 2040, but that's because there won't be any fossil fuel then anyway. So what's the problem? That's not going to impact anyone at all. And I just think, well, hang on, that's like saying we're going to stop selling fossil fuels tomorrow. Yeah, but everyone's still got a frigging car. You can't do that. It's still being used widely. It's still working. It's still functioning. And it's not taking down the internet like everyone wants to say it is. It's not taking down the internet.
It's causing
on what they've got on Flash when it's actually a big workhorse of the net. Good or bad? Sorry, go ahead, Gary. Yeah.
Just that it's a huge security risk, especially for your average consumer sitting at home doing whatever they do with their computer. They get fake pop-ups that say it's Flash that needs to be updated. They get themselves infected. They use the real Flash. They get themselves infected. The average consumer, vast majority of computer owners are at risk for having that on their system as long as it remains on their system. And as a computer technician who gets the phone calls when these problems occur, I often find Flash is in the installed programs list. It has no reason to be there. Most consumers have no reason for it. And if they do have it, it's typically an outdated version. They're afraid to update it when the update comes up because they can't tell the fake update from a real update. So the safest thing is to not update it, which is the example I give is like, they give flu shots every year and you find out a bunch of people got sick after getting the flu shot. So you decide, I'm not going to get the flu shot. So instead you get the flu. Just take the thing off. Just get rid of it.
I'm not sure that's the right analogy, but thanks, Gary. Cam, you've been quiet. Have you got a...
not really on this one. I think Flash, yeah. I'm listening to what everyone said, and we've said for years, you know, I think Carrie's hit it right. All my experience of Flash has been pop-ups, and on that basis, I've absolutely stayed clear of it. Yeah, I've not got the right lot to say on this one. I bet Steve's getting comfy in that coffin of his.
I don't know. Yeah, I suppose so. You two guys got anything to add? No, you've been very quiet as well.
Nothing really to add, isn't it?
Right, okay, job done. I thought it was a good story. Right,
it's a good story.
Who's got the next story? Who's put it in?
Was
it
there you
Rich?
Go.
Rich put it in.
I thought I'd get in early. I always wait till the end for no reason, so I thought I'd jump.
Because you're polite and British.
I am polite, thank you. If you could let my mum know that as well, I'd really appreciate that.
I haven't got the time, mate. I haven't got the time to invest in that.
That's rude.
Good. Today, Apple unceremoniously removed from their website the iPod Shuffle and iPod Nano. You now, apart from the iPod Touch, which I agree with what this Wired article here is saying, it's not a real iPod. It's a iPhone Lite, not a real iPod. You can't buy iPods. No, they're gone. They're done. It's over. Oh, the dream has come to an end.
Bloody autoplay video adverts. Bastards. Autoplay video adverts when I've got no sodding data left anyway. We had a chat about this on the Mac show today, and it was just like, I was like, oh, come on, anyone got a nice story to say about it? And Patrice was just like, good riddance. Glad it's dead. Piss off.
I'm sorry to see him go. I get why the Nano and the Shuffle are going or are gone, unless you find inventory at another reseller. But I'm sad to see them go. I liked that Apple had what I'll call an economy-priced music player. And I know people that still enjoy having just a dedicated music player, but they don't sell those anymore, hardly.
I think the resale market for this will jump significantly now for iPods.
Sorry, you just talked over a bit there. Sorry, Cam, say again.
Oh, sorry. I think the resale value now for iPods will jump significantly when these disappear. I think Jeff's bang on. There's an awful lot of people that love a music-only device. I've got my original, I think it was the 4G version, 160 gig. It sits in the glove box of my car. It's rammed with music on there. There's plenty of areas I go where, for whatever reason, signals dodge for me to stream. And I've just got loads of stuff on there that I can put on at any point. I love having it, and when that dies, I will replace that, and I'll be going to eBay now for one.
The comment was made today about the fact that there's some people that wanted it for the gym, and that was still really valid. That the gym is a definite place where it's needed.
Sure.
And runners.
Although yes. I see so many people with armbands holding iPhones at the gym.
Yeah, but again, totally it's supposed to be the watch, isn't it, that replaces that, as they were saying today as well. But,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Can
anyone think of a product that was so sort of just universally loved and ubiquitous?
Sorry, guys. Sorry, Rich. Just hang on a second. Sorry, you guys are crossfading all over the place. Finish what you were saying, Jeff. Say again.
Anyhow, okay. So iPod Nano or iPod Shuffle, $50 or $100 versus $350 for an Apple Watch. The Apple Watch is not the replacement for an iPod
or Shuffle.
And to say that is that's just flat out wrong.
Yeah, but that's what Apple wants.
I get why some people would think that.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, there is nothing for kids, most definitely. And the iPod Touch at 32 gigs for $199 is too expensive for something that's functionless in terms of the amount of storage. Sorry, Rich, go on your point.
I was just going to say, as far as the iPod goes, I can't think of another product that was so ubiquitous. I'm willing to bet absolutely everybody that can hear me right now owned or owns an iPod.
Yeah.
One of them at some point. And, you know, it's harder to find someone who never did. And I don't think there's anything else like that now. Not smartphones. I mean, not even iPhones are that popular. It's just one of those things. I don't know when we'll see another thing as well used as the iPod.
Yeah.
God, we're all podcasters as well. We owe that to this little music player.
True. Very true. Go on, Muller.
There is something that Campion said a few weeks ago. I think it might have been at the Bash. And he said he didn't want to run with a £500 watch on his wrist because he might get mugged. Where this little Nano with a little strap on it.
I, when I,
Yeah, carry on. That was what I wanted to say. You said you wouldn't want to run with an Apple Watch on some parts of Leeds.
Yeah, no, I do. No, I run with it. What I do is I have a sweatband over the top of it.
But if you got
I have a sweatband over the top, so it's covered up and it's not obvious. And that's because some of the routes that I run down, from a safety point of view, I'm not worried at all. But you know, I'm running with a 500-600 pound watch on my wrist. I don't want to go flashing it about everywhere when I'm running down the road on my own at 5-6 o'clock at night. So yeah, I cover it over. But yeah, putting something like a small nano clipped on the top, absolutely fine. The reason I want to watch is something for the GPS tracking. I use Strava. That's why I'd use a watch personally for running. But equally, I don't want to film the watch up with music. That's my personal view. That's why I wouldn't shove loads of music on my watch.
You have to do it, if not for a run, then.
If you're out, if you're out running and someone tries to mug you, don't stop running.
Oh, no.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that 1970s safety man. When you're out running and someone attacks you, just keep running.
Run faster.
Everything will be fine.
Keep calm and carry on.
Keep running and carry on. Wouldn't you agree? Yes, Mr. Chumley Water, I would.
Come on, we ain't going to stay here for this.
No, we're okay.
Sorry.
Next story then. Kaspersky's Stellar Antivirus finally goes read, Carrie.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting story on a couple of levels. Kaspersky has been a pretty well-regarded antivirus over the years in the technical community, and they've never had a free offering before. And, of course, free antivirus products, I don't recommend them anymore. Apart from Windows Defender, they are too invasive. They do a lot of pop-ups, a lot of advertising. So products I used to recommend, Avast, Avira, ABG, just no longer are feasible. They're just too annoying. I think the viruses are less annoying. And furthermore, most infections that are happening on PCs today are malware. Only 7% are viruses anymore. And Kaspersky has finally entered the ring, is supposedly celebrating their 20th anniversary. They want to roll out free antivirus across the world. They're starting with the USA, Canada, and a couple other countries. They've got a rollout schedule over the next 4 months. They started on July 25th, 2017 with the initial rollout. It's a free, fully functioning, auto-updating antivirus without all the pop-ups and advertising and user tracking. I'm not quite sure how this is going to stay economically feasible for them to do. But what was interesting to me is they say, okay, we have a $50 product, you know, and it's got the parental controls and VPN. And a lot of people don't need that. And some people don't have the money for an antivirus. So we want to give them something to protect them. And I think it's great. I think it's a wonderful gesture. And then I get a bunch of people here in the United States that go, well, didn't you see these hearings in Congress that they think that Kaspersky is colluding with the Russian government and that the United States government has said they would never trust Kaspersky product to secure their systems and government? And I'm like, yeah, so how often do you look to the government for, you know, quality security advice? And furthermore, what do you have to worry about? They're going to steal your nuclear launch codes from your garage? I don't understand why so many Americans are so concerned about what the United States government feels about Kaspersky and any potential collusion with the Russian government or control. And Kaspersky has said, hey, we'll show you the code. We'll show you our code. We have nothing to do with that. And the United States government said, no, not good enough because, you know, that could be changed.
The Russians.
And it's like, you know, this is the thing that just kills me. I've seen this happen over and over again where you do something for free and it comes back to bite you on the butt. I've seen situations, they had many years ago, Kentucky Fried Chicken offered a free meal to people who watch Oprah Winfrey show. And they had such a large demand for that they were running out of chicken and people were getting turned away with the coupon saying, I'm sorry, you'll have to come back another time. And these people like boycott KFC. They did. It was free. they didn't expect this many people to all at the same time try and redeem these coupons. And then they had to go through a whole PR campaign, marketing, saying, look, we apologize for this mishap and we're going to honor all the coupons. And I thought, oh my gosh, all they tried to do was do something nice, obviously in the benefit of the company, and it comes back to hurt the company. So here's Kaspersky, what I think is doing a very gracious thing by offering free antivirus to people throughout the entire world to make the internet a safer place. And you've got these people saying, oh no, it's Russian. You can't trust Russia. Stay away from it.
Because it's got a Russian sounding name.
No, they're Russian.
No, I know, but it's got a Russian sounding name. That's all of it. People that actually don't even know it is Russian or not. They just think it's got a Russian sounding name.
I thought
that same reason that, oh, free chicken. But that's not going to be popular. No.
As a technician, to me, this is a form of technical racism. You know, it's sort of like if this was a person, this would be not politically correct. You wouldn't say these things in public, but it's a company. And for some reason, which I can't quite comprehend, the United States just needs an enemy and they've decided it's going to be Russia. They're going to make them the bad guy. I really don't understand the world we live in at this point. I judge a product based on the product, not, as crazy as John McAfee appears to be. When he was in control of the antivirus company, McAfee, it was a great product, regardless of how crazy the CEO appeared to be. And that's, as a technician, as a very logical person, I care about the product. I don't care about the guy who makes it.
Okay, fair point.
So anyway, I highly recommend it if people are looking for a good free antivirus solution. The website is free.kaspersky.com. That's the thing that kind of sucks is when you go to Kaspersky's website, there doesn't appear to be any link to the free product. You have to go to the free.kaspersky.com website to find it.
Right. Okay. Anyone else got any views about Kaspersky antivirus?
I think it's great they're doing this.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, we supported Sophos free to Mac users for a long time because it is a genuinely good and well offered piece of software that not anymore doesn't take up hogging the CPU time on your computer. So it's a good purchase. So for free. Excellent, good story, mate. Thank you very much. Who's got to do their story yet?
Me.
Tell us all about it, Camps.
There we go, in the chat room now. So Roomba have been in the news this week. Where is it? There we go. So Roomba have been in the news this week. And in an interview, CEO of iRobot, who made the Roomba, for those who don't know, Roomba is the automated mini little robotic vacuum that is, I think it's about $900. It's not a cheap device. Sits on a charging station. You can set a program on it. And then off it goes and it hoovers around your house during the middle of the night, or while you're out of work, when you come home, all done. This story centers around the newer models of the Roomba. They've got quite significant laser mapping cameras, tracking facilities in the device. The CEO, Colin Angle, has said that they have plans, or there's potential plans, to start sharing home mapping out to other companies and the benefits that can have in terms of home automation, understanding room sizes, and therefore that'll allow, for instance, speaker manufacturers to understand potential acoustics in the room. It can map what sort of furniture you've got around your house, where your air conditioning units might be, therefore for airflow, where your windows may be in terms of lighting systems and adequate lighting. And I just thought it was a really interesting story in terms of how people may buy what they consider an innocent vacuum, but where the potential could go down the line to be able to map the inside of houses. Obviously, we've got so many services that map the streets. You've got Google Earth that maps the planet. But in behind closed doors, there's not an awful lot out there doing that, but Roomba seem to be taking a bit of a mantle here.
I think the thing that unnerves me the most about this is not the fact that they're actually doing this, because if they were doing it with the infrared sensors and the lasers that they've got in so that they don't rip into your furniture, so they map where stuff is, and they generate a 3D from that with a GPS-y type function somehow, I'm okay with that. It's the fact they've put a frigging camera in it.
Camera.
That is not okay.
So not only is that something that the Roomba doesn't bump into, they can see exactly what that something is. Is it a sofa? Is it a TV unit? What sort of TV have you got on that unit? They can see everything around your house.
It's two people having sex.
And being burglars in the details as well, if he breaks into this website.
All right, so the fact that iRobot is planning on selling this data after they collect it is pretty creepy. The place where I see it as something that could be valuable, like genuinely valuable to us as end users, would be if, say, Amazon is using it or Apple is using it with their home voice assistant devices. So the Echo figures out where it is and improves its audio performance based on that. The HomePod, when it comes out, is going to do the same thing.
Yep.
And what if the device could tell you, I sound okay here, but if you move me over to the end table, I will sound even better, because now it has the whole layout of the room and it can figure out where it's going to acoustically be best. That would be a cool thing. But the rest of the baggage that goes along with this, like being able to use it for advertising and do like really creepy focused ads. You know, we noticed that you really don't have any furniture in the living room. So here's some IKEA deals for you. Or, you know, that they can tell there's toys on the floor. All right, so now they start sending you ads.
Condoms.
For kids' products. Condoms, yes.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm
with you, Jeff. I find this creepy.
If you move me to the end table, I will sound so much better. And yes, your bum did look big in that. It's the camera. I can't be doing with the camera. Just like no. You've gone too far there. You can't put cameras in devices without telling me that they're there, and me making an informed decision. And having a Roomba is not a reason to have a camera in a device.
Boring, you know, even without the camera, it's still invasively creepy.
It is. It's too far.
So much they can know about you from just the mapping data.
Well, I don't mind that kind of stuff. I can live with the thing is, if someone wrote to me and said, how is your house laid out? I would quite happily tell them, oh, it's okay. It's, I've got a back room. It's 13 by 15, or it's 13 by 19 or whatever. I've got a 60-inch TV. I've got a three-seater and a two-seater couch there in the corner with a lampstand and a subwoofer. And I've got a rack over here, and there's a door to the right. There's a door that's not got, or there's a doorway that's not got a door on it to the left-hand side. There you go. Have at it. I couldn't care less. But
Is there an argument on this one to be had that all of us who've commented on this so far have said that we find this a bit creepy? But I don't think any of us, we've all got Amazon Dots and Echoes in our houses. And I think all, me, you and Jeff, I think all of us sort of dispelled the tinfoil hat scenario about possibly being listened into. And is there an argument about how is one worse than the other?
It emotionally feels more invasive to me, having a device that's collecting my entire floor layout and including where all my furniture is, and then handing that off to someone who's going to sell that information.
And I don't have the problem with the anonymized data going out and selling to someone. It's the camera bit. I just can't. It's just not okay to put a camera in. Mm.
I kind of feel like it's a little like Idiocracy happening. It's not that hard to push a vacuum cleaner. It's not that expensive to hire a maid. I really don't like the hypocrisy that people are too lazy to mow, to vacuum or mow their own lawn, vacuum their own carpet. And then it's like you go out to eat every day and you go to the same restaurant and they get an idea. They can start bringing you the food before you've ordered it because they know you. They can get an idea what you're like based on what you eat constantly. You go, well, I don't want them to have that information. I don't want them to know what I'm eating. Well, you went to the restaurant, you ordered it, you volunteered that. Nobody held a gun to your head.
No, no, that's different. No. Sorry, hang on a second.
You've got the wrong analogy.
Hang on, Kerry, you've got the wrong analogy. What you're taking is you go to a restaurant, you order food, and then the restaurant tells the supermarket what you ordered.
You've already got frequent shopper cards that are monitoring everything you're buying. Your credit cards monitor everything you're purchasing. When you get an electric self-driving car, it's going to know exactly where you go, when you go, how often you go. This is the way we're moving. This is the way the world is moving. I don't think our attitudes, we're all a bit older here. I think the younger generation is all up for this. And I think you take the good with the bad. I think that if you want the front side, you're going to get the back side. You can't just have a front without a back.
Talking of being bent over, the back side. There we go. I got to agree. I mean, Ellis is free to sign up to anything. Dad, can I sign up to this? Nope, why not? Because it's just a piece of shit that's going to try and sell you some crap you don't need and get money off you and get details off you, like your email address. And you get a shit ton of spam, son. But it's cool. I can do this with it. No, it's the same weapon you already got. It's just a bit of a BMP file that was going to put a different skin on it. But it's a cool skin.
Well, you could push a vacuum cleaner. It's not the biggest, most effort-driven thing in the world. If it bothers you,
I'll try that argument with him next time it happens, Kerry. Thanks.
all I can see, I mean, these devices, these are the high-end $900, $1,000 devices. All I can see here is that Hoover or whoever else are going to come in with a lower price model that, yes, it'll have the more limited lasers on to find its way around a room, but it won't have the Wi-Fi linked cloud mechanism to upload loads of data about your room layout. It'll be a much more basic version, and I think it'll just boost sales of that.
Batwinch wants a Roomba to put a Dalek on the top of it to scare her tortoise.
Totally reasonable.
I'm pretty sure a tortoise means the tortoise. I don't think it's a euphemism for anything else.
Could you just block the Roomba on your router and it wouldn't be able to upload it?
I'm pretty sure. Probably. Somewhere within a setting. I'm pretty sure there'll be somewhere within a setting that just is don't share my traffic into the cloud.
It's got its own 3G sure. card.
Yeah, I believe they said
it won't work here,
that's an option.
Yeah, it won't surprise me in the slightest. Yeah. There'll be an opt-out, wherever it's not by default.
We get 4G speeds down here. We get 88 down and 33 up on the 4G on the phone. Put a dongle in and it's limited to 20 and 5. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Good story, mate. Good story. Who's yet to go? Was that everyone?
Yeah.
Everyone in 37 minutes.
I don't think you did. Not you bad. Went.
Oh, I haven't got a story. I just hope you might have one. John, did you bring a story from Australia?
Not all the way from Australia. Look, I had a few stories that were probably a bit more concerning and depressing, so I might try and see if I can go with something a little bit more.
Yeah, thanks for leaving us on that way, John. Yeah, got that. So Microsoft. Oh, no, this is a really cool story. Go on, mate.
So earlier this week, Microsoft announced that Microsoft Paint would be no more. And then there was, of course, heartfelt outcry. And so now they're sort of keeping it around. And it'll just be available for free in the Microsoft Store. But apparently they won't update it. So we can still keep using it.
I wasn't aware they'd updated it from 3.11 anyway.
They probably haven't.
Is there a new one coming in the Creators update, though? Kerry might know about that.
There's a Paint 3D, I think, something like that. But I don't know what anybody uses Paint for anyway, apart from taking a screenshot, pasting it in Paint to save it. That's all I've ever used it for years. Yeah. So if it's gone, I wouldn't miss it. But to each their own.
I think that's perhaps its most useful function.
I think so. I can't imagine.
When you take a screenshot,
very easily replaced.
It just doesn't automatically save a file?
Yeah, you do print screen, and then you do paste in Windows, and it gives you the canvas the exact size as the print screen. And then you can just save it as a JPEG or a BMP.
Huh. Okay.
They might have included it in the file formats.
Was it Snipping Tool that replaced that? Is that what it was called? And was it Windows 7 that came with Snipping Tool that kind of lets you do the same thing?
I think
that
so.
That was an add-on. Wasn't that an add-on?
That was an add-on.
Yeah, well, there was a utility called Snagit that was much, much better from TechSmith.
Yeah, TechSmith.
Capturing.
Snagit's a little bit more than that as well, isn't it? It's
It'll capture video. Let you control exactly what you want to capture precisely.
So John,
and then give you options to highlight or add fletching, you know, the Fletcher tool and everything else too. I find it very useful when I'm trying to help somebody technically to follow some instruction and doing it remotely. I can get those screen grabs and say, you know, follow these steps. Couldn't do that with Paint, not easily.
John,
Sniffing solves everything Windows 7 and above.
Yeah. John, your story, mate, are you going to miss Paint?
No. No, I am. I'm not sure if I've ever used it.
I'm going to say, because there's some of you, John, I bet this is for you. I'm going to miss it because Paint was my childhood. And I'm like, well, they hadn't invented computers when I was a child, so.
Yeah, they're just sketches.
You bastard. We had a horse and cart. I mean, it's for a lot of kids, Paint is high school computing.
Mm-hmm.
Not me. I mean, I was 16 when the Commodore PET came out, so. It was
good times.
Good times, yeah. 4K.
Well, companies don't keep products around for nostalgia. Companies keep products around for profit.
Oh, Microsoft never made a profit out of Paint. Give over.
Oh, sure they did. Yeah, they have. Yeah, by adding value to Windows and encourage people to use Windows. They've taken other apps. They've added and removed apps throughout the history of Windows in order to make Windows more appealing to end users to get more. Obviously, it's worked.
Paint, 31 years of Paint down the drain, chaps.
Well, no, it's still going to be available. You just have to go into the Microsoft Store and download it. That's all.
Yeah,
they're just not going to develop it in any way, which is almost a laughable comment based on the fact that I don't think it's been developed in any way in years.
They haven't developed it for 30 years and 6 months.
Yeah.
Hey, look, when you get it, when you nail it the first time, you don't have to fix it.
MS Paint's like Vincent Price. Everyone thought it was dead already.
Oh, my God.
No, it's true. Everyone thought Vincent Price. And then when he found out he died, it was like, you're joking. I thought he went ages ago.
Same thing for Abe Vigoda.
Yeah.
Olivia de Havilland.
Yeah, they did that on Letterman races. So I'm in the house of the late Abe Vigoda, and Abe Vigoda comes out of the bedroom. Get out of my house. I'm not dead. What are you doing here?
Oh, someone, Bowench is listening to us on a Millennium Falcon speaker.
Nice.
Cool.
Does she have to bang on it to get it to work?
Braver than I thought.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Magic Man was listening to the Mac show and he said, oh, I'm having trouble. It keeps dropping out. It's crap. And I'm sitting trying to figure out why it's dropping out. And then I find out he's sat in an Italian restaurant in Italy using their shit Wi-Fi. Of course it's dropping out. We lost
from experience, all Wi-Fi in Italy is shit.
Yeah, I think so. But we're doing okay. We've got a bit more time left yet. We're all right. Anyway, you got another story, John, or Muller?
I didn't bring one.
You didn't bring one, no? Okay. John's are all depressing anyway.
Well, then, what about a depressing one? Go on.
I'd have to find it again to put it in the chat room.
Okay, I'm talking about Paint for a bit.
Ewan, I will try to get in when in Tenerife. Oh, in the Slack room, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
I think she's trying to get in you.
Apparently, her speaker was £20 in HMV.
I thought,
wow.
That's pretty good. We're going to have to move on. We've only got 2 gig left. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're awesome. They look after the Mac show. They look after the Big show. They look after the Pocket show. They look after the new show, which... should soon be available to you on Amazon Echo as your flash briefing. And all of that's thanks to the fact that UK2 hosts it on an HTTPS service, which allows us to submit it for approval. They did say that we couldn't have it because it was a 10-second delay, but Camp said it starts instantly, so we sent them back a WTF review. So thanks to UK2, they look after us. Please go and use the offer codes. A few people have today, and they tweeted out that they used the offer codes and got a massive reduction on their basket for the products that they bought. Anything for the web, check out UK2. They are awesome. And thanks also to the support of Hoya, because we've had some great fun with them this week. We went up to make a couple of films for them. And one of the films we made, which I'll post when I can this week, is me being fitted for my Uniku specs. There's me being measured and then trying on all the styles that there are. At the moment, there's 3 lots of 12 styles, I think, available to you. So it's 36 frames available, all handmade, handcrafted, if you like, by Materialise when you put your order in. And they come back and they are frame set to, or the lens set to your exact location in your eye. And then they build the frame around where it should be so that you get the best functionality for your lens. One of the things that Mark said to me was, he said, it's like, you know, someone goes to the optician and they'll have like a funky pair for the weekend and a boring pair for work and that kind of stuff. 2 different frames, same lens prescription. And he said, they'll always have one that feels better on their face and that works for their eyes better. And he said, that's because the frames have been set and then the lenses are put in it. And the frames can't be the same because they're 2 completely different styles. What we've done here is make sure that the lens is exact and then we've built the frame around it so it can't be not be in the wrong position. So, and it comes with your initials on the inside. It is that unique. That unique. Uniku. There you go. It works. It's brilliant. You are unique. You are Uniku. Time for the cool thing then. Camps, you've gone on, still on video again, you're not on, but go for it. Tell us your
comment. Yeah, I have no idea why my video's gone off. I've changed nothing, but link in the chat room. This is my, in my opinion, very, very, very cool thing this week.
Oh, Aftershocks.
And it's the Aftershocks Trex titanium bone conduction headphones. So I can't show you them now. For some reason, my camera's gone wonky.
I'll try and get a picture anyway. While you're filling time.
Cool. So, you've tried these. I got them probably about a month ago now. The idea is they fit round the back of your head, quite a rigid titanium based band, and the where you normally your buds would link into your ear, these don't. They sit in front of your ears and sit on your cheekbones, and then they channel the sound through mini vibrations through your cheekbones into your inner ear, therefore bypassing the eardrum totally. The benefit these are aimed primarily at the running, the exercise market, cycling market, and things like that. The idea being leaves your ears open from a safety point of view. When you're running down the road, you hear traffic. It's so much safer. From that perspective, where I see the real benefit of them. There's dual mics on the front. So I've used them in the office for a few conference calls now, and sound quality from me listening and also from the people that I've been speaking to have said I'm coming through clear as a whistle. I've tried them with my father-in-law as well. Now, my father-in-law wears hearing aids in both ears, and he struggles. He's got a pair of over-ear old Philips-style headphones that he wears when he's watching TV, and I plunked these on his head. And he was amazed straight away at how much clearer he could hear through these, because it was ultimately just bypassing the ear altogether. So I've written a review. The link I've put in the chat room is the review that I've written on the BTN site. Have a listen, have a look. They're really good. And as an add-on, in the next week or so, I'm hoping to be able to do and record an interview with one of the Aftershocks team about where Aftershocks came from. And I know a bit of the story. If you read my review, you'll hear it, but I won't spoil it here. I'll wait for the conversation with them. And also, I might have a BTN offer code coming short for Aftershocks as well. So I'll keep you posted.
I hope you've all got free headsets coming our way as well.
I've not been able to arrange that as yet, but let's see.
Stuff that, do that before you get the offer code for the listeners. God, I've got to say, having had a go with them, they are uber cool. It is uber weird how you can not have something in your ear and hear it like it is in your ear, and stick your finger in your ear and still hear it. It's weird. It's very weird, but it is very cool. And they are very safe as well, because, I mean, I sometimes, if we've got the, if the whole family's in the car and we're going on a fair old journey, I sometimes put my AirPods in. And they aren't really safe to drive in, I suppose, but these would be cool. These would be awesome. And then no one else could hear it. And that was the thing that was really impressive, Camps, was that when you got them on and you were listening to stuff, I couldn't hear it. Only you could hear it. That was, it was, it was probably less disruptive than a set of AirPods.
And the good thing was I was running in the race in Leeds and you were at the finish line. Yep. So I'm running on the finish line. I had music in my ears. You shouted and I heard a bit, was able to turn around equally running around the race. And this is why they're one of the, I think they're the only headphones that are, I think it's, is it English Athletics? It's one of the English Athletics. They're the only headphones that are permitted in a lot of road races from a health and safety perspective. They absolutely allow you to wear these because you can hear marshals, emergency services and things like that. Whereas when you wear normal in-ear headphones, it blocks all that out.
Okay, Google says he wears hearing aids, so he'd love to try these.
Worth a go.
That would be interesting.
Have a read of my review.
I think it depends which part of your hearing mechanism is damaged.
Yes, it does.
So I don't know.
I'm not going to go into the science stuff. I'll wait till I speak to Aftershocks and let them talk about that. Well, if I remember right,
you can't hear anything that doesn't go through your auditory nerve. And the only way you're going to get stimulation in the auditory nerve is movement of the oval canal or the oval window and the movement of the air in the ear canal. So that's got to happen. If that can't happen, then I can't see how you would hear them. But okay, Google, tell us what you think. If you can have a go and try them, that'd be awesome to find out. Yeah, good cool thing, mate. I totally agree as well. Really, really good cool thing. Carrie, what have you got, mate?
I was sent a product to review, and along with other YouTubers that received this product, I was looking at what other people were saying about it. And it seemed to me a lot of YouTube reviewers didn't get what this product was for, and I think it did this company a big disservice. This is the box, and it's a company called Azul. And what they make is an almost Intel Nook-like computer. This is a full-functioning computer. It actually has dual monitor support, VGA port, and HDMI, Ethernet, gigabit Ethernet, USB 3.0. There's two of those back there, a headphone jack, a Kensington lock. USB 2.0 port is up there, and just a power button up in the front. For a little bit more than what the price of Windows 10 costs, which comes with this, you can get the whole computer with Windows 10 installed. And it's just an Atom processor. There's not much to it. It's an Intel Cherry Trail. What's that?
Someone's scraping all over the place. Whoever's moving, please stop. Right, go on, Carrie.
So the... it's an Atom processor. It's not very powerful. It's got, this unit has 4 gigs of RAM and then like a 32 gig solid state type memory. It's not as fast as solid state memory, but it's not a traditional hard drive. It's just 32 gigs. But there is an SD card slot here on the side to expand that. But the a lot of folks that I saw review this are like, you can't play this game and you can't play that game. What's the point? The point is an HTPC. This is completely fanless. And they have this in two formats, both the larger format that I'm holding, and they have one that's just the stick that plugs directly into the back of the TV. And like I say, wired or wireless makes a great home theater PC to be able to stream your content and control the content. So, for example, if you look at the Amazon Fire TV, it's like $99, and you can't put every app you want on that. With this one, you can. You can load, you know, Kodi on this. You can put... Plex, you could put whatever you want on here, or even just browse your network to locally stream things using VLC player or whatever media player you want right to your television. And they even make this really cool remote control that is a gyroscopic mouse on one side, and you flip it over and is a full QWERTY keyboard on the back side of it, so that you don't have this... The thing that really puts me off about HTPCs is the idea that I'll be sitting in bed or on the couch with a keyboard and a mouse. And that's the appeal of Chromecast or Fire, Amazon Fire TV, is you've just got a simple remote control. Anyway, so they've resolved that with the optional remote control they sell that functions both as a mouse, as a traditional remote, and as a keyboard, so you can quickly get to what you want to get to without spending a whole lot of money. You basically, like you say, for about $20 or $30 more than just what Windows 10 would cost you to buy Windows 10, Windows 10 comes included, and there's no fans, there's no moving parts, so the likelihood of it failing any time is highly unlikely, since in my experience as a computer technician, most parts that fail are moving parts. So there's no spinning disk, there's no spinning fans, and anyway, I think it's a great little product. It's
cool.
Designed for a niche, just to, you know, or if you have somebody who's a very light internet user, they just want to browse the web, play solitaire, check their email. Good solution, very inexpensive.
It's only available in the US according to the Amazon stuff that we've got, but I've just tried to change shipping to the UK and it didn't seem to want to stop me. So you might be able to buy it in the UK. Or be able to get it.
It's a great deal.
Yeah, no, there's no link in the UK. You'll have to try and buy the American one and get it shipped over. If you've got Amazon lockery type stuff, then that would be really cool. Good. $169 it says for the basic model. Well done.
And that's actually the most expensive model, I think.
Yeah.
I think everything else is under $169.
Yeah, cool. Good pick, mate. Thank you. Rich, what have you got for us?
Well, this week I did something that I never thought I'd do again for the rest of my life. And I must say it's been, well, just life-changing, really. I bought a SCART cable.
What the
f- Yeah. I know, right? Okay, so the backstory is I bought myself a GameCube. And when you plug a GameCube into an HDTV of any description with the, what is it, composite video wires, the yellow, red, and white ones, it looked hideous. And it's basically unplayable. But there's this company on the internet called retrogamingcables.co.uk. So there's a little plug for them. And they make specialized cables for older game consoles in order to get the best quality image out of them that you possibly can. And so they make the SCART cable for the GameCube, but it also works on the SNES and I think the N64. If you're in the market if you've got an old console, chances are there's a better way of getting video out of it than you are doing. And these are the guys that can set you up with that. So not only did I buy a SCART cable, but I spent £20 on a SCART cable, which is...
Dude, just... I've got a drawer fuller than that. I'm too much of a hoarder to throw out.
Right. The thing is, it's a very special SCART cable, and that's why I didn't mind. And this sort of comes into what these guys do. It's not one of those stupid, oh, it's gold-plated, so it's extra conductive. No. Right.
The only way a SCART cable can be this special is like if it's in a disabled special.
Well, it's special in that the GameCube requires different pins to be wired differently, and these guys actually take the trouble to do that. You can go on Amazon and buy a GameCube SCART lead for $6.99. I have one. It's awful because they don't do anything with it. This is a specialist designed for the GameCube, lots of rewiring. They print their own circuit boards for it. It has extra shielding and capacitors and all kinds of things in. And the picture out of it is absolutely incredible. It's made the console so much more playable because you can see it better.
At 360p.
Yeah, basically. And it's difficult to sort of explain the difference, but it really is just incredible.
No, it's difficult to believe the difference.
I know. I bought it thinking, if this is shit, I'll just send it back.
I'm using believe. That'll be fine. Completely different way from you. But okay. No, I'm just taking the piss, mate. Well done.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I recommend them.
Cool. You can get the Intel Nook, apparently, Steakman says, in the UK, and he's put a link in the chat room, £128, which is a similar kind of thing, but it has got a little fanny port by the side of it, by the looks. If you want to know what the links are, like Richie's great SCART cable, I'm sorry, Rich. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
No, I'm not sorry at all.
Carry on, ignore me.
Do put it in the chat room for us, mate, so we can click and look. I'll get the lotion out and a sock later. Then all you got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and you too can rub yourself silly whilst looking at Rich's SCART cable. retrogamingcables.co.uk. Thanks, Rich. That's cool.
There you go.
Oh, calm down before I click that link. Jeffrey, what have you got for us?
I have something that I find to be incredibly, wonderfully fun. And surprisingly, it's not a sex toy. There's an expansion pack for Exploding Kittens out, and it's called Imploding Kittens. And it's only $15.
I thought you said this wasn't a sex thing.
Imploding Kittens?
Well, it depends on how you play. So yeah, if we're going to play Strip Exploding Kittens...
Can someone stop trying to do DIY while people are doing their pick, whoever it is? Thank you. Sorry, Jeffrey. Carry on.
Anyhow, so this expansion pack for Exploding Kittens is called Imploding Kittens, and it includes the card that gives it the name, which is the Imploding Kitten card. But then it has several other cards, like new reverse cards with pregnant dinosaurs, draw from the bottom, where you can pull things right from the bottom of the deck or out of your underpants. Alter the future, a new targeted attack. So instead of just simply attacking the person next to you, you can attack any of the other players. And now a feral kitten card. So you have a wild card. So the cat cards where you do pairs and three of a kind, you now have a wild card to go with those. And it comes in this big box instead of a little box, because the new add-on for this thing is a cone of shame. So if you happen to forget that it's your turn, the first person that forgets has to wear the cone of shame for the rest of the game, which looks a lot like doing this.
Yeah, you know you.
And then it has a little arrow on it so that it points which direction the play is going.
You know you keep that for some private time fun as well.
You can use it any way you want, and I will not judge.
Tell me I'm a bad boy and make me wear the cone of shame.
Did it just get hot in here?
Cool. Well done, mate. Superb. Like that. My cool thing is Launchpad. There is some blue stuff on that, so it's keyed out, unfortunately. But it's Launchpad on iOS, and it's brilliant. I bought this, I got it for free, but there is some packs you can buy as well. But you can put basic drum beats and that kind of stuff together with it. You just set some of it running. And there's little stabs you can come on with. And then put a bass beat in. Subtle as it is. And I'm aware that might not be everyone's cup of tea.
Well, get some Molly. It will be.
Oh, I can't stop it now. Holy shit. Hang on. Stop. There we go. I'm aware that's not everyone's cup of tea, but it's great for giving to the kids because you can put their earphones on, they can go and sit and do that and come up with some beats for themselves. And Ellis absolutely adores it. He's got stuff he listens to on the way to school. People are like, what's that? And he's made it himself, so he's got a little bit of kudos for making it. When I used to play golf, and I used to a lot, and I used to practice, used to go up the range and just hit golf balls all day. I used to have Gatecrasher on and things like that, so I love that kind of stuff just in the background when I'm trying to concentrate on something to just keep me mind free. But it's Launchpad Make and Remix Music, and it's free in the iTunes Store. If you want to import your own samples and that kind of stuff, then it's $3.99 to add on that thing. And then there's a whole pile of other sound features that you can put into it, but actually the features that are there will keep you happy for a very long time. Kids haven't asked for any extra packs or anything like that, so it's well worth it. John and Muller, have you got cool things or not?
I do. Do you want... You do yours first.
No, you first. No, you first. No, I say it. Do you?
Okay. So if you want to put it in the chat room.
Keep talking, John.
So, mine is just a YouTube channel. So there's a gentleman called Mitch Bergsma. He was originally a professional wakeboarder.
All right.
And so what he started doing is obviously using GoPros and stuff like that to film himself. And he's obviously eventually been contacted by GoPro, and he's obviously, you know, affiliated with them now. But he, I guess he now does professional, he does video professionally now. So his YouTube channel, a lot of it is tips on how to use GoPros, and he also does drones as well, the DJI stuff.
Cool.
So a lot of it I've found sort of useful. What's quite interesting, I find, is he's actually deaf. And so he signs, and his videos have subtitles as well. So if you want to, you can watch them without the volume on.
Cool.
And his wife helps him out as well, and his wife isn't hard to look at. So. And they live in Texas. It's nice and warm, and they spend a lot of time in South America where the drone restrictions are obviously a lot less restrictive. And so, you know, they'll often be in their beachwear, for example, so that can
cool.
can pass some time.
Excellent. Mullet, your cool thing is Nokia.
Yeah, it's the Nokia Smart Scale. You all know I have a few problems with my Withings watch. Well,
just a little.
Nokia came. They finally admitted that there's nothing they can do, and I can have a new one or my money back. But as a sort of, we're so sorry, they gave me one of these scales, the cheapest one of the family. And I actually adore them. They link up to your router, and they link to the Withings on the new Nokia app on the iOS. I think it runs on Amazon, runs on Android as well, and it's seamless. And I'm tracking my weight better now, and I've actually lost 3 kilos in the month, although I did have a blip around the bash time, which is not surprising.
No, not surprising.
But if you need some scales for £60, the cheap ones are pretty good. Although I wish they'd give me the chance to upgrade them, give them extra £30. I'd probably add the middle one, which does a couple of other things. But I recommend them; they're excellent.
Excellent, jolly good. And there's a link for Mick Bergsman in the chat room. Make sure you to John. Well done. Where can we get a hold of you, Camps? He's on mute.
Sorry, there I am. Get me at Camping UK on Twitter. Get me here on the Big Show in the Slack room, and check out some of the reviews that I'm putting at britishtechnetwork.com/reviews.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Carrie, where are you, mate?
Mostly at my YouTube channel. You can get a shortcut to that by just going to kerryholzman.com.
Excellent, mate. We'll have you back on again in a few weeks. Hopefully we've got a better connection. We've been shafted, though. We were told that we'd get a connection by August the 10th, so I've worked towards that. And I got an email after we'd finished the Mac Show saying it was now August 23rd, thanks to BT Openreach. You wankers.
Be careful if you're not in when they come here, because I'll just go. And they put and they charge you again.
No. I've had a rant about paying for installation when I've had to wait 6 weeks for it. Rich, where are you, mate?
I'm over at simplysyndicated.com doing podcasts about anything and everything and all that. Gaming news continues, movie news, take it or leave it. Movies you should see and make it so are being rerun this week as well. I'm starting that, so look out for those.
Oh, I'll come on that if you need anyone else, mate. I love me movies.
Oh, it was sadly discontinued a number of years ago. We started recording it in 2005. So we've got like something like 250 odd episodes of it, but it's, yeah, we finished a long time ago, sadly. And everyone's grown up and moved on and has babies now and stuff like that. So it's rubbish, really. But luckily we recorded it all. So
we lack a movie show on this network. We should have one.
It's good fun to do, and it's easy because you sit and watch films anyway.
Yeah, no, I do. I love them. Yeah, the only thing is I don't get to, because I got kids. I don't get to go to the cinema quite as readily as I used to. Perhaps. So.
Oh, you don't want to do that anyway. It's full of the general public, you know.
Yeah, riffraff.
Yeah,
we do that though. We tend to go on a Sunday morning at like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, and it's quite empty then. But your name is least on the panel, Jeffrey. Where are you?
I'm hanging out over at MacObserver.com, and I'm doing the Daily Observations podcast, and well, like pretty much every other podcast that there is. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut, both places.
Is the sun going down where you are?
No, but I think there's some clouds moving in, which will be great because I've been sitting here doing the show with the air conditioner off, and it's like really hot in here.
Yeah, we got a window open here. That helps. But you can't open the window, can you? It's just as bad outside.
No, they're doing construction in the alley outside my place.
Nice. Where can we get a hold of you, Muller?
Muller Biker on Twitter, BTN. And I do a couple of reviews occasionally.
Excellent, mate. Getting coming. Wait till you get your scales and give us a review then, and also post your handle out so we can watch your progress.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. You can.
And be supportive.
Yeah, I'm 17.3 pounds now.
I think you're heavier than that, mate.
No, 17 stone.
Yeah, right, okay.
3.4 pounds.
So supportive.
17 pounds. no, you're not, you fat bastard. I didn't say that. It just slipped out. It's Tourette's. And talking to that skinny boy, John, how the... Sorry, mate, that just came out as well. Have you enjoyed your day at BTN? Because you've been here since like 10 o'clock this morning.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
You're sitting watching us try to resolve the internet issues, which we've done. We've done all right.
Only when I got it.
Yeah, right, okay, good point. Where can everyone get hold of you, John?
Oh, look, if you really want to, I can be found in the BTN Slack room under Another 17.
And you're part of the PFL, aren't you, as well, the Fantasy Photo League?
Yes.
So they can look at your images if they join the Fantasy Photo League. Fantasy Photo League is doing really well.
They can guess which one is
mine. We won't know the Johns.
No, we won't, but how good was Light, fellas?
Awesome. Really good pictures in there.
Light was awesome. Go on, John, you say something.
I was going to say Light was very good, and I hope we've all voted today.
Yeah, the Fantasy Photo League has been going now since January, and there was like a bit of a change in May, and then a bit of a change again in June. But the Light images in June were just stunning, just absolutely stunning at the end of June, early July. They were just superb. I mean, there's some advertising level quality pictures in there. Really, really impressive. I'm very proud of everyone that's done it because they've really, really improved standards. It's been awesome. Cool. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll do our best to get back next week. We'll see if we can steal some data from someone somewhere and see if we can get on, crack the passwords of the local businesses that won't know we're here in the evenings, and generally try and get ourselves online somehow. Might be back to Google Images though, because that's me for the month now. I've used all my month's data up off the dongle two shows one night. See you all again next week. Thanks for listening.